In preparation for our lesson, we've got a responsive reading that should show up somewhere. And somewhere I've got a sermon. From Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a psalm that, really the whole psalm is about the Word of God. And each section starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you were reading Hebrew, it would be a poem that started with that. Let's read the word. I'll be the leader and you respond. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently, so that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes, not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? Learning it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. May your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches and everyone. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Amen. Get one thing out of here. We continue in our series, Theology for Everyday Life. We talked about forgiveness for 2 weeks, and this week we're talking about Scripture. Again, any one of these topics could be four or five sermons. But the point of this one is to enrich us and to inform us, to enrich your life, and to take theology, which sometimes is way up here, and bring it down and say, but, well, how does this apply to me today? What does this apply to me today? So I hope that our series today, or in this sermon on the Scriptures, on the Word of God, will be very applicable to us today. I'm not going to take time and defend Scripture and go into all the things of the critics over the years and all that. There's plenty of books out there on that. But I can assure you that you need to be, you can be confident that the Bible you have in your hands or in your phone or where your tablet is an accurate translation, that it's the Word of God, and you can rely on it, and you can trust in it to lead you. So we're making theology practical in everyday life, talking about the Bible. Again, it's a huge topic, a big topic. And, you know, most of the criticisms over the Bible over the last 150 years have been debunked, so we'd be confident of that. But a lot of the arguments today about Scripture are part of a broader argument today of, well, what is truth? And what is right? And how do I find truth? And how do I know, how do I know what's true? How do I know what's right? How do I know anything is true and right? Does anyone doubt that after the last United States presidential election and the debates about climate change and COVID conspiracies, that truth is getting more and more difficult to define? Truth is getting more and more difficult to define and even to find. It's kind of like in, the X-Files, the movie. It's out there somewhere. The truth is out there. Mulder always goes, it's out there. The truth is out there. That was a great series, by the way. But it's out there somewhere. But where is it and what is it? How can you find it? Because everybody's claiming truth. Everything you read, your social media feeds, everything. Everything is claiming true, that they're true. But whose truth is it? Everyone has their own version of truth, even on the same topic. And the idea that you can have your truth and I can have my truth about the same thing, well, that's just absurd. But that's a position we hold today. We can believe totally different things about the exact same thing. And yet you can say, well, I'm right. You're right, but you're just supposed to. That's absurd. Truth is truth or it's not truth at all. One's own personal truth and experience trumps facts. One writer put it this way: today, if you're presenting fact, you've already lost the argument. Isn't that crazy? Today, if you're presenting fact, you've already lost the argument, because most people are basing it on my experience, not on objective fact. Well, this should make us uneasy. It should make us uneasy, and it does. James chapter 1 describes a man or a woman who lacks wisdom, the wisdom of God, who's full of doubt, as being like a ship driven and tossed to and fro by the wind and the waves. Worry, anxiety, depression, and such is the state of many today, even Christians, because we become unmoored from anything stable, anything solid in our lives. In a world that seems to shift from one news cycle to the other, we need something to anchor our lives in. We need something that doesn't change, but has stood the test of time. Something that it is both truth and contains truth. We need the Bible. We need the scriptures, the very words of God. And today I'm using the Bible and the word scriptures interchangeably as I speak. In our anchor passage today, Moses is about to die, and the people of Israel are going to cross over the Jordan and go and conquer the land of Canaan and take it and possess it for themselves. This chapter is called the Song of Moses, and he reviews the Lord's faithfulness. He reviews the Lord's faithfulness to the people and calls them to be faithful. That God had been faithful to them for 40 years, even though they hadn't been faithful. God had been faithful to them. And he's calling them to follow the Lord. And then he says, take to heart all the words by which I'm warning you, that you may command your children, that they may be careful to do the words of the law. For this is no empty word for you, but your very life. Think about that for a moment. The words of God, they are your very life. They are your very life, and they are my very life. Do you look at God's word that way? That's the overall purpose of this whole message, is to get us to be thinking that God's word is our life. It's to give us life, and we'll see what that means in a moment. You know, you can't emphasize the importance of God's word much more than that by saying that it's vital. It's vital to our existence. God's word is vital to your existence. It's necessary. You know, it's absolutely necessary. It's essential. But in the term also is the idea of flourishing. Don't you like that word, flourishing? Word says the way what it means. To grow and to prosper is in that word, that it's your very life. It's full of energy, and it's necessary to sustain life. He's using a contrast here. He's saying the word of God is not empty. It's not empty. It's not just a bunch of words on a piece of paper. This isn't just a 66 books of things. It's life. It's full. They're not just words like any words. They're living. They're really living. They're alive. They're active. They do something. They're as vital as the air you breathe, the water you drink, and the food you eat. Think about that. The Word of God is as vital as the air you breathe, the water you drink, and the food that you eat. Do you ever look and go, oh Lord, I would die if I didn't have your Word to read? That's what Moses is saying to you. That's how important it is to be in our lives. Because God's word, he calls to grow, and it calls us to flourish. They're part of your life. So that's the way God's word is supposed to be. In our reading, in our obeying the Bible, the most important thing you do is the most important thing you do like a believer. You know, we as Christians are, we are people of the book. J.I. Packer writes, true Christians are people who acknowledge and live under the word of God. We're a people of the book. Take our Bibles away and we're, not arguing about that. We're still be Christians. But take our Bibles away and we're really nothing. We need our Bibles. We need the Word of God. Why is the Bible important to us? Why is the Bible important to us? Why is it vital to us? Well, the Bible is vital to us because of who gave it to us. First, it's vital because of who gave it to us. Our second passage that we'll look at, all scriptures God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Understand something, Christian. Your King has spoken. Your King has spoken. The Lord God Almighty, your King, who has called you into His kingdom, who has made you His sons or daughter of God, who has made you part of His kingdom, He has spoken, and He has spoken to you in His word, and you need to listen. And I need to listen, because it's not just anybody speaking. It's not even just an angel speaking to us. The King has spoken. The Lord God Almighty has given you this Bible. He has written every word. And He calls you to listen. And He calls you to hear His voice. And He calls you to obey. Your King has spoken. And you need to listen to Him. It's authoritative. The Word of God. The Bible that you have in your hand. Everything about Christianity stands or falls on this truth. If the Bible is not true, then let's all just get up and leave this room. There is no reason for us to be here. If the Bible is not true, then the Word of God is not true, and you and I are lost in our sins, or there is no God, or whatever. Because everything about Christianity stands and falls on the Word of God. Either it's true or it's not. There's no in between. You can't pick and choose what you want to believe. Your life here and eternity depends on this book. It depends on what's in this word. And those who do pick and choose generally usually just fall away from the Lord. It becomes an empty philosophy to them. He says that all Scripture is inspired by God. There's no reason to doubt any part of God's word. There's no reason to doubt any part of God's word. It all came from Him. Every word, whether it was given, literally written down and handed to Him like Moses, or whether it came through inspiration, whether it came through a dream, it's all from God. God has spoken, and He has spoken to us. The Scriptures prove themselves over and over. It's God-breathed. It's inspired. The Apostle Paul actually creates this word to describe this. He takes two Greek words and he sticks them together. He creates this word. It's really not found anywhere else in literature. He coined this word to express that the Scriptures came directly from God. God inspired the writers. They didn't make these things up. So think about it for a moment also, that how is God going to reveal Himself to you and me? He is an infinite, almighty, powerful, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent God, and here you and I are. How in the world are we supposed to communicate with God? I mean, our intelligence compared to His is, I don't even know if that's big enough. So God, in His mercy, has chosen to communicate to us in the written word. It's a blessing. It's grace that God has given us our Bibles, and that we know about Him and we can learn about Him. We're not like people just sitting around guessing. We're not like cultures who have had developed magic and things like that to figure out who God is. He has given us His word and His scripture. He reveals Himself to us. You want to know about God? Get in His word. He's revealed Himself to us. Again, J.I. Packer says, inspiration establishes that the Bible is a divine product. In other words, Scripture is divinely inspired, and that God actively worked through the process and had His hand in the outcome of what Scripture would say. Inspired Scripture is simply written revelation. Scripture is not only man's word, but also an equally God's word, spoken through man's lips or written with a pen. Scripture also is vital to us because it teaches us, as I said, about God. God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. He says in John 5:39, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they, or the Scriptures, that bear witness about Me." You want to know about Jesus? You want to know more about God? This is where you find it, in His Word, because the Scriptures speak about our Lord Jesus Christ and His Father. So He's revealed Himself to us. God's Word is dependable because God is dependable. God's Word doesn't change because God doesn't change. God's Word is trustworthy because God is trustworthy. Now, what does this have to do with cows? I couldn't resist the picture on the right. It was just too good. TC and I know a man named Woody. We pastored together for 13 years. Woody said that when he was a young preacher in theological school, they would send them out on the circuits into the country towns to preach. And one day he was driving, and this was before, of course, Google Maps, phones, everything. And he wasn't quite sure where this church was, so he stopped in a little country store. And the man said, "Oh, you just go down the road, you'll see a big oak tree, and there's a pasture with 13 cows in it. And that's where you turn right and go up there, and there's a little church on your right." So Woody said he drove down the road and saw the tree in the road, and then he stopped, and he went, 13 cows. How'd the guy know that? The guy was trustworthy. He knew that this guy was trustworthy. He knew that he was reliable, that he could stop there for directions at any time because he had followed the test. It was true. Again, as I said with the brownies, we can trust the Word of God because it's God who has written it. Well, the Bible is also vital to us because we need instruction. We need instruction in this world. We need to know how to live. And the Bible does what? The Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us about ourselves, and it teaches us about the world around us. It gives us a correct picture of the world. Only the Christian, well, I won't say only the Christian, somebody else could come to that truth, but only the Christian really has a correct view of the world, of why the world is the way it is, explains why we are the way we are, and the way the world is. For instance, a good understanding of Genesis 1 through 3 will explain why there is so much turmoil in the world today. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people. It's tough because of the fall. That will have a good understanding of Romans 1 through 8 will explain why you and others act the way you do. Why do we act the way we do? Well, read the book of Romans. It'll tell you a lot about yourself. Study Job for insights on suffering and the sovereignty of God. The book of Revelation was written for what? The book of Revelation was written to the church undergoing harsh persecution as an encouragement to remain faithful to the Lord until he returns. That's what Revelation is about. It's not a blueprint to map out when God's coming again. Only he knows that. But it was written to the church to say, it's tough, it's hard, but Jesus is coming. And we win. We win, so remain faithful. We may need this more and more in the future here in Australia. So, and where are you going to go to learn what God expects of you? The Bible. The Bible. Again, isn't it great that we don't have God sitting up there just going, "Oh, you did wrong," and we don't even know what we're supposed to be doing? We don't know. In fact, you've had a boss sometimes, like you could do everything wrong, but he would never tell you what you're supposed to do. Well, God, we have the Word of God. It tells us how to live. We also need rebuke, correction, and training in our lives. He says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light unto my path." I read this book while I was up in Exmouth week before last. Great book, Aussie Pilgrim's Progress by Kel Richards. I guess I got that. I learned all sorts of Australian slang that I never even knew existed. It's a delightful book and really funny. I would recommend you read it. And it only costs $7.95. That's cheap for Coorong. Yeah, read that. It's a really good book. It's an Australian version of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. That the Christian is what? He's on a path. He's on a pathway. That's the Christian life. And there are dangers and trials. And people and Satan are trying to knock him off his path. And the messenger, as it says, and the great book that he have, keep him on the path or keep him on track and get him out of trouble when he gets off the path. In our Christian life, you know, you'll get lost. You'll fall off the path. You'll get knocked off the path. You'll stay on the path. Things will distract you. But the Word of God is what lights your path before you. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But you know what? It's not just going to happen. It won't just happen. Scripture says in the verses following 1 Timothy, study to show yourself approved. It's not just going to come to you. Because Christianity is a meditative religion. You have to think about it. You have to try to take it into your life. You know, it used to be the thing to memorize Scripture. It used to be a thing that we memorized a lot of Scripture growing up. And in the church, it was a big thing to have to memorize. When TC and I were dating, progressing down the road in our dating relationship, we thought this would be really neat, that here's what we're going to do. No goodnight kiss unless you've memorized the scripture that we picked out. So we decided, oh, Psalms will be great. We'll just start memorizing the Psalms. Well, we got to about Psalm 3 and we abandoned it. You know, that was it. We didn't abandon the kissing, but we abandoned that. It was just, you know, that wasn't going to work. So, but it was a method. We were trying to do something to memorize scripture and to encourage each other in the Lord. But the scriptures are not just a guidebook, like your book in the car. I pull mine out every now and then when I have to, like, now what was it, 5W30 oil or 10W30? Well, I can't ever remember. So I have to pull my manual out and look it up. And that's how we treat the Bible, but that's not what the Bible is. It's not just something like, oh, I've got a struggle today. I wonder where I can find, I wonder who I can talk to. That might work. And praise the Lord when it does work for us. God is faithful to His Word. But now we live in a culture where we can just Google an answer or look things up on YouTube. We don't have to know how they really work. We just get the answer. And we can tend to look at the Bible that way. I had a friend, so every Sunday he would walk out of church and he'd throw his Bible in the back seat of the car. And there it would stay all week. And then the next Sunday when he drove up into church, he got his Bible out of the back seat of the car and he walked in. He never looked at it any other time. And sometimes we can treat the Bible that way. We really don't look at it till maybe there's a need. They sit and gather dust until a hard time comes, or when we're looking for direction, or we suddenly scan the pages for answers. How much better when the trials come, or when we get off the path, if we can pull passages up from deep within our minds and our hearts, that we know the passages when those trials and things come, and they can minister to us and minister to our souls. Because the Word of God is odd in that it really does change us. If you will memorize Scripture, good portions of Scripture, and put it in your heart, it will change you. He says, let the Word of Christ richly indwell you, or dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly, because it changes us. It does something to it. These are not idle words. They are really the Word of God, and they change us. To meditate. Now I have a question, and I don't have the answer. I'll tell you my thing. Can we really meditate on Scripture on a phone? Now, I don't think you can. But prove me wrong, because that's your generation, okay? I'm old, you know, it's paper and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying you can't, but I encourage you, prove me wrong. Use your device, use your phone. They're convenient. I didn't even take a printed Bible up to Xmount. I just use my phone. Can you really learn to meditate on the Bible? I think you can. I don't know if you can or can't. But prove me wrong. Do it. Whatever you've got, read it. Whether it's your tablet, phone, or an old-fashioned Bible, read it. And learn to meditate on God's Word. Enjoy it, but just read it. The Bible is vital because it contains the Word of God, which brings about salvation and changes lives. You know, the gospel message is from God's Word. And whether it's spoken or written, you know, it's God's Word. Whether you hear it preached, the gospel message, it changes your heart. Or whether you read it, it changes your heart. Many of you have had with SU, I think, or CU, just reading the Bible with people changes their lives. There's a gentleman in this church who simply picked a tract up off the floor of a gymnasium locker room, read it, became a believer. How amazing is that? So he says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. And Ephesians tells us, in Him you also, when you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Why? Because God's Word is living. It really is. It's living. It's living. You know, astrophysicists agree that now that before everything came into being, there was nothing. And then in an instant, suddenly there was everything. And with really milliseconds, the universe was formed. Just, you know, tremendous reactions going on at that time. And this agrees with Genesis. God spoke and things came into being by His Word. And God's Word still creates today. It still creates today. Because the spoken Word and the read Word of God is what the Holy Spirit used to create new hearts. When people hear the gospel, their hearts are changed. Their hearts are changed. My friend Jerry had bypass surgery 2 days ago. And a real and living surgeon went in and made changes to Jerry's heart. And also because God's Word is real and living, it changes people's hearts to more than just altering it. It brings a dead heart to life. It brings a dead heart to life. It makes a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Because God's Word is living, as says Hebrews 4. It's living and it brings life. So it does something to others and to us. Well, let me make this statement. The greatest determining factor in your life is how you view and respond to the Word of God, the Scriptures. The greatest Christian, the greatest determining factor in your life is how you respond to the Word of God, the Scriptures, and your Bible. That will determine how you handle success and failure, how you view life in this world, how you respond to life's ups and downs, how you live and how you love and how you die, is how you respond to the Word of God in your life. So in this world of relative and constantly shifting facts, what are you going to anchor yourself to? What are you going to anchor yourself to for the next 60 years of your life? Or more, the solid, unchanging Word of God, or will you be tossed to and fro in the waves of constant unrest and certainty? Christians are a people of the book. And for us, we need to realize it's vital. It's necessary. Without it, we die. As Moses said, this is your life. This is your life. Think about what that means. This is your life. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding then, and is not kidding for us today. Do you think this way? How would it change your life if you did? Is the Bible important to you to read it, to study it, to get to know it? Because Scripture is important. For in the Bible, we meet God. In the Bible, you meet God. And you and I need God right now more than ever. And we find Him in His Word, through the power of His Spirit that works in our hearts. Let us pray. Father, thank You that we have Your Word, that You didn't leave us aimless, wandering around trying to figure things out, but You've given us the Scriptures. Oh Lord, may they be our life. And as we study them, as we read them, as we think about them, may they change us, and more than anything else, oh Lord, may we come to love You, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, more and more. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. We're going to come now to the Lord's table to partake of the Lord's Supper, which is recorded in Scripture. I'll ask the elders to come forward now. Break with the song. Move Chelsea's table.